Joshua chapter 12. Although we're not really going to be reading a whole lot from Joshua 12, it's a good place for us to start and really to springboard from there. But we continue this study through the book of Joshua. And really what we're going to be doing today is an overview of Joshua chapter 12, and even rewinding a little bit to chapter 10, chapter 9, and really looking at some of the things that are taking place, really a bird's eye view at the things that are taking place. And as we've been studying through the book of Joshua, we've seen over these last few chapters all about conquests and how they've had these battles and these lands that they've come up against, and they've overtaken these lands. And now in chapter 12, it doesn't change a whole lot. Chapter 12, what the whole chapter is a list. And so we're not going to study through that necessarily verse by verse this morning, but it's a list of kings that both Moses and Joshua conquered. And as I said, today is that overview, that bird's eye look at Joshua chapter 12. So we're going to take really a step back from there. I just wanted you to turn there, and you can even skim through on your own, and you just see, wow, there's a lot of crazy names that I cannot read, and I don't want to go through reading to you this morning. So, sorry, I'm just not, this is tough stuff here. So we take this step back and we see, well, what is this theme? What's happening here in this chapter and in the previous couple chapters? It's about being conquerors. And Joshua and even now Moses, it's talking about these lands and these kings that have been conquered, that they have overtaken, that they have overcome. So our study today, and it may not make sense yet, but we'll tie it together at the end. The title of the message today is Jesus Makes Everything Better. Sounds like a Sunday school lesson, right? But it's so simple. Jesus makes everything better. I keep things simple because my mind is simple, okay? It really is a lesson that's that simple. Jesus makes everything better. And we're going to first start, and we're going to build a little foundation with what are we talking about? How are we going to get to this starting in Joshua? And so we're talking about Joshua. We're talking about the fact that these are kings. Joshua chapter 12, these are kings that Moses and Joshua have overcome, have overtaken. So let's first establish that conquerors is one who overcomes. To conquer is to overcome and take control by use of force, specifically military force. You think of, as I was studying this, I was thinking of some of the greatest conquerors throughout history. And of course, one name that probably comes to mind for many of you, if I say, who's the greatest conqueror in history? Alexander the Great, right? Many of you, that's the name that came to your mind. That's the name that came to my mind. And as I was looking, I'm like, hey, you know, what did he conquer? What's going on? Well, I find out that he actually, in theory, was not the greatest, but Genghis Khan was, who actually conquered more than double the land and people than Alexander the Great. There's something that these two men and many others have in common, had in common. Power. They had power. They had a big army, and they used force. They overcame adversity, whether it was somebody that was coming up against them or somebody that they just wanted to wipe out, they overcame by force with a big army. So for us, to conquer is to overcome, to take control by use of force. Just the other day, I was changing out some outlets in my house. and there's some old outlets. You know, I got to put the new ones in. And one of them goes fine, no problem. The next one I start taking apart, and the screws are stripped, and that outlet is not coming out. It's just the screw just keeps spinning. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? I try some different ideas, some pliers to like pull it out, and you know, and it's just not working. So finally, I had to use force to conquer the outlet. I cut the metal to pieces and ripped the screw out, and thankfully the box was still intact when I was done. But I conquered that outlet. I used force. I overcame the adversity using force. Sometimes you got to do that, right? You know, you're like, you're moving a piece of furniture and you're stuck, you're wedged in the door. You're like, what are we going to do? Well, we've got to conquer it. Overcome by using force. And then you break the door jamb or something like that as you're doing it. I know how it goes, but that's what we do. You, when we come up against something that we have to overcome and there's no other answer, what do we have to do? We have to use force. And so we established then those men, those great conquerors, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, others as well. They used force. They took over lands. They took over people by using force. That's what it took for them to conquer. But we're not talking about using military force. We're not talking about having a big army. We're talking about our hearts. We're talking about our lives today and a spiritual application for us. What does it take? What does it look like to be a conqueror? Well, you look at Moses and you look at Joshua. What did it take for them? What was the key that they both had in common to be able to be overcomers, to conquer? It was obedience. It was surrender. It's the opposite of what you might think. Here's Alexander the Great, a Genghis Khan, these men who overcame by force. And now here is the Christian. Here is someone who believes in God, who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what are we saying? How do you overcome? How do you conquer? You surrender. You give it to Jesus. You walk in obedience to what he desires. For Moses and for Joshua, when they obeyed God, they overcame. When we obey God, we can overcome. And what do we overcome? We overcome temptation. We overcome trials. We overcome sin. We overcome the issues in our lives. We conquer the issues in our lives. Why? Because we walk in obedience. We walk in obedience to God and what his desires are for his life that he tells us time and time again throughout his word. We don't have to make it up. Many times we think we have to make up morality. We think we have to come up with something that's not in the Bible. I have to come up with a way, a method that I'm going to conquer, that I'm going to overcome. But the reality is, we overcome and we conquer through submission to God, through obedience to his word. That's the example that we see through Moses' life, through Joshua. I mean, think about Joshua just in the one battle, the Battle of Jericho, which is the famous one, right? This one battle, how did he overcome? Did he have a great, strong military that they plotted and they planned and they used force and they came up against those walls? No. They're like, we can't overcome these walls. What are we supposed to do? Walk around it some. Blow your trumpets, you know, circle around, yell and scream, and just, I'll take care of the rest. It was through surrender, through obedience to God and letting God do what God wanted to do. When we, in our own strength, in our own power, overcome, then we can puff out our chest. We say, yeah, look at me. I mean, when I finished putting that outlet in, I felt good about myself. I did it. I don't need to hire an electrician. I can do it. But that's, you know, we puff out our chest. Yeah, I overcame. I'm a conqueror. But the reality is, spiritually, to walk in obedience and submission to the will of God is to be a conqueror. Throughout the Bible, the word conqueror is used and is translated to overcoming. To be a conqueror is to be an overcomer. And we establish now what it took for Moses and Joshua to overcome, and even what it took for some of the great conquerors in history. But the difference is, these great conquerors, it was by their own strength of their army and their power, and they were men who puffed out their chest and said, look at what I've established. Look at what I've overcome. So as Christians, what does it take for us to overcome? Following that example of Moses and Joshua, to obey, to walk in obedience, even when it sounds crazy, like walk around the walls of Jericho and blow your trumpets and shout, and they'll just crumble to the ground. There's many Jerichos in our lives, in the world, and then we face these things, and it's a battle, and what are we supposed to do? I'll figure it out. I'm going to figure this out, especially us men. We have a plan for everything. We have a way to conquer. So as Christians, you can turn with me now to 1 John chapter 5. Looking further into, as the believer, what does it take for us to be conquerors, to be overcomers? 1 John chapter 5. And we read there, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We see a few things here. Number one, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So what does it take to be an overcomer? To be a conqueror? Be born of God. To be his child. We are his. As Christians, we are his. And because of that, we overcome. He already has overcome, so we inherit that victory. Simply because we are born of God. To be born of God is to be a Christian, to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to be born again. And so we have victory because he overcame. Remember the outlet I told you about, right? Well, my kids don't have to worry about replacing that outlet. They don't have to overcome the outlet. Why? Because they're born of me. They've overcome the outlet because they're mine. Whatever it is, no matter the situation, whatever the trial that we're facing, the sin in our lives that we're facing, no matter what it is, there's already victory. We already have overcome because Jesus already overcame. So we see that we're born of God. Because we're his, we're overcomers. The second thing we see is the victory. That victory is what? Our faith. Our faith. Our victory is our faith in God. Our faith in the fact that he has overcome the world. Not that we have to overcome the world. Listen, if it were up to us to overcome the world, we'd be in big trouble. We'd be buried by the world. I mean, reality is, right, I overcame that outlet, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, this is great, but who cares, man? It's an outlet, it's this big. I mean, and I was getting frustrated. I wanted to kick a hole in the wall or something, you know? But it's this tiny little thing, and I had to do all this work and put all this effort in to overcome. But the reality is, that's the smallest, simplest thing. Put anything in front of us, any trial, any temptation, any sin, we're buried if we try to overcome on our own. There is no possibility that we come out on top in our own strength. Otherwise, what is this for? If it was about us doing, yeah, work hard and you'll overcome, then we could just get rid of this. We don't need it. But that's not a reality. We need it. We need Jesus. We cannot overcome the world or anything of the world on our own strength. But those two things we've said so far is that we can be overcomers. How? Because one, we're born of God, and two, it's through our faith. Our faith, our belief, our trust in God. And then the third thing we see in verse 5, it says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Belief. Belief in Jesus as the Son of God. This is the basics of salvation. This is the gospel 101. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That is how we overcome. By realizing our place, by realizing that we are so small, but Jesus is the Son of God. He's so great. He's so mighty. He's above all, and we have to do is have faith and put our trust in him. It all comes down to this fact that if we are Christians, we have already overcome the world. We have already overcome the world because of Jesus. Remember I said the title of the message, Jesus Makes Everything Better. I think you could title any message that if you wanted, and you can teach the Bible. Jesus makes everything better. He has victory. He's conquered. Further, you can turn with me just a couple pages further in your Bible, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, another verse talking about being overcomers. Here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. We will overcome. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood, poured out his blood, so that we could be overcomers. And it's by his blood that we're overcomers, not by ours. Not by our blood, sweat, and tears. No matter what the effort is that we might put in, it's not enough. But by the blood of the Lamb, we will overcome. By the word of our testimony, it says. By the word of our testimony. What is that? It's our story. It's our God's story. What has God done in your life? How can you overcome the world? How can you witness to people in the world that don't want to hear it, that are up against you, that are battling you maybe? How can you overcome them? You're not getting into an argument with them. It's going to waste everybody's time. But by the word of your testimony, you can overcome. By the word of our testimony, we can overcome. Paul, in Acts chapter 22, Paul is before the Sanhedrin. They're ready to kill him. They're mad at him. They're ready to wipe him out. It says they laid hands on him. That means they beat him up. It's not like, hey, let's lay hands on him. Let's just pray for him and let's maybe escort him out. No, they were beating him. They had him wrapped up. They were arresting him. They were going to kill him. He said, hold on a second. Let me speak for 1 minute. Just let me say something. Fine, go ahead, say what you're going to say. It's going to be your last words anyway. It's kind of the thinking, right? This is the situation. And what does Paul do? He doesn't say, repent and be baptized. He doesn't say, you're all going to die unless you turn to Jesus. He says, let me tell you something. I was messed up. I was a mess. My life was a disaster. I was living life the way I wanted to live life. I was so confused. I was zealous for everything that was wrong. I was killing Christians, persecuting Christians. Here's the terrible things I did in my life. But you know what happened? Jesus showed up and changed my life, transformed him completely. And that's what Paul says in Acts chapter 22. Read it, chapter 20 through chapter 22. You'll see this whole situation taking place. That's what Paul does. He doesn't condemn anybody. He doesn't sit there and point the finger and says, you guys, you know what? Go ahead. You can kill me. It doesn't matter because you're all going to die anyway. No. By the word of his testimony, there's power in those words. Because not one person could come against you and say, God didn't do that in your life. Well, actually, he did. Nobody can argue that with you. Nobody can come against you and challenge the fact that God has transformed your life. If you say, like Paul said, if you speak those words, if you say, listen, let me just tell you, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That idea that, you know what, it's not me, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's how we can overcome. And not just to say words, like, oh yeah, Jesus changed my life, but people will see. I mean, they looked at Paul, they knew he was a totally different guy. They knew there was something crazy different about him. Is there something different about you? That when you say, man, God changed my life, Jesus transformed me by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, I'm saying these words and I'm demonstrating with my life that I am changed. Nobody's going to argue that with you. Because they can't. Nobody can argue what your experience with Jesus is. But the key to that is demonstrating. And that's what he goes on to say in the rest of that verse 11 in Revelation 12. They did not love their lives to the death. They didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't just say, here's the word of my testimony. And say, oh, my life is different. And I'm not just telling you that. I'm forsaking my own life. I'm not loving my life to the death. I'm laying it down and I'm demonstrating that. I'm not just saying my life is changed. I'm showing that my life is changed. And I'm going to live the different life than I lived before. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And here's where we bring it all to that point, that Jesus makes everything better. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We've established these things, that there's some great conquerors in history. Moses and Joshua both were conquerors, right? Why? Because they walked in obedience, and we need to follow that example. We establish now what it looks like to be a conqueror and surrendering our lives and trusting in the Lord and seeing what he'll do with our lives and knowing these things that it's we are born of God, so we overcome the world by that. We have faith in God, so we overcome the world by that. And we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and we overcome the world by that. Then we see that it's through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we can be overcomers in the time of adversity. But now we take the next step, and this is where Jesus makes everything better. He goes to the next level, and that's what he's all about, isn't it? That's what he's all about. That's what he always does. Taking it to the next level, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, we read, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So what is Jesus taking things to the next level in? He makes everything better, and he's saying that you are more than just conquerors. We've established that we can be conquerors, right? We are conquerors through Jesus Christ and through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimonies. But now, he's saying, no, it goes further than that. You're more than conquerors. What is it? How are we more than conquerors? It says there, through him who loved us. That's Jesus making it better. He's the one who loved us, who gave his life for us. We've seen that through obedience we can overcome, and through obedience we can be conquerors. We've seen that through surrender we can be conquerors, and these things, this is great, right? We can be conquerors, but we can be more than that. What's better than being a conqueror? Being more than a conqueror. And what does it look like to be more than a conqueror? I love how it sums it up in verse 38 and 39. I'm going to read those verses again. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." What is it to be more than a conqueror? It's to be loved by Jesus. I can guarantee you this. If we're having trouble overcoming, if we're having trouble conquering sin or trials or temptations in our lives, then we're not understanding the love of Jesus. We are not understanding the love of Jesus if we're giving into these things. Because what is the love of Jesus? That changes everything. That makes everything better. The love of Jesus is that he laid down his life. 1 John says it, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's love. That's love. To understand the love of Jesus, to walk in that love, is to be more than a conqueror. And we can puff out our chest and say, I'm loved by Jesus. We don't have to say, I'm a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. I've done this, I've overcome this area of sin in my life. I've overcome this outlet in the wall. I'm more than that. And it's because Jesus loves me. So simple, right? So simple. Sunday school 101. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We complicate it, and we come up with our own plans, and we forsake the Word of God. And when we do that, we're missing out. We'll never be conquerors at all, let alone more than conquerors. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, present, future, height, depth, any created thing. Because of the love of Jesus, we're more than conquerors in all those things. Because of the love of Jesus, we overcome the world. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is you're facing. Jesus loves you. I've been teaching my kids lately what it is to be a witness. How can you simply preach the gospel? We were studying one night. We were doing our devotions. They said, what is a witness? I said, well, it's telling people about Jesus. And here's the simplicity of it. Jesus loves you. You could tell everybody in the world you come to, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose from the dead, and now you get to have eternal life. Four things. It's that simple. It's a couple sentences, but that's what it's all about. Jesus makes everything better because he loves you. Let's not confuse the love of God. Let's not forsake the love of God and come up with our own ideas. We try to reinvent the wheel all the time. I've got a great plan how I'm going to overcome the world. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're more than conquerors. This first steps, though, again, it's obedience. It's surrender. It's taking then that to the next level, understanding that if I'm born again, if I'm born of God, I'm an overcomer. If I believe in God, if I have faith in God and trust in him to do his work in my life, I'm an overcomer. I can overcome the world by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. But I can be more than that even. There's a progress from one thing to the next. You can be conquerors, yes, but you can be more than that through submitting and surrendering and understanding the simplicity that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. We could say it over and over, and it could mean something to us, but many times it's just words. Even if you have little kids, you sing the song probably, Jesus loves me, this I know. And you sing it maybe every single day, 100 times, but it's just, it's words. If you're having a difficulty overcoming, then I challenge you to bring it back to the simplicity of the cross, that Jesus loves you. And no matter what, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, no matter how difficult your situation is, no matter if you think, oh, nobody wants to talk to me, Jesus doesn't even want to talk to me, it's not true. Because still, Jesus loves you. He wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. Those are three things that we can never forget. But don't let it be words. Understand the love of Jesus. If we understand the love of Jesus, we're more than conquerors. We're more than overcomers. In many churches in the world, there's that message, oh, you're overcomers. Let's all, unite and we can overcome and this is great and that's all well and good. But it's through submission and surrender. It's through submission and surrender. Figure out what it looks like according to the Word of God, not what it looks like according to your map, according to your plan. We like to come up with great ideas, but our ideas are terrible. I mean, let's be realistic. Our ideas are terrible. The ideas are all written out for us. We don't have to come up with new. It says in the Proverbs that there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Solomon writes that. There's nothing new under the sun. So why are we trying to reinvent it? Why are we trying to write a new story, a new map, and come up with some great idea of how we're going to be overcomers? We already are by surrender. We already are because Jesus loves us. That should put a smile on our faces today. Jesus loves you. And don't keep it to yourself. Go tell everybody. Jesus loves you. And we might say, well, you know, if he loves me, then why is this happening? Or he loves me, then why is this happening? So that you can learn, so that you can grow, so that you can trust him more and you could see him do something so incredible with your life. I'm sure when Joshua and Moses came up against all these adversities, they might have questioned God, why are you allowing this to happen? When they came up to Jericho, they might have thought, why is this in front of us, and why are you telling us to overcome this land? Can't we just walk around it? I'm sure many of you have thought that before. I know when I was a kid, I was like, hey, you know what? Why didn't they just go around Jericho and go somewhere else? Because God told them, go and overtake that place. The questions are always there. God, why is this happening? If God loves me so much, then why is this happening in my life? So that we can greater understand his love, and so that we can give him more glory. Because we can't puff out our chest when we overcome, because we can't overcome. But we can say, man, how great is it? I can puff out my chest and say, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, loves me. He loves me. I don't care who you might know, what great connections you might have in the world, how high you are up in your company, how successful you think you are. What's better than that? You're more than conquerors because Jesus loves you. Amen? Let's pray.